Hey guys, my guest tonight, Lynn Monet, is going to be talking about hauntings, ghosts, and aliens. We'll be right back. Grab your popcorn and snacks. Find a comfy spot, take a seat or lie down, and let me transport you to a place of fantasy, ghost stories, ancient legends, odd creatures, alien encounters, and other magical topics. You may even decide to join the conversation. From faraway lands to your own backyard, with a small dash of pixie dust, turn out the lights and open your minds. The journey is about to begin. Happy Monday, everybody! It's Memorial Day here in the United States. Welcome, welcome, welcome. My name is Charlotte. I'm going to be your host for the next hour. I'm also the owner of the California Haunts Paranormal Investigation Team based out of Sacramento, California. I won't push that button again. I don't even know what I pushed. It's going to be like that today, I can tell. We are 45 strong up and down the state of California, which means if you have a paranormal need, we can get to you. It may take us a while. California's huge. However, we will get to you, and I'm going to get a better chair, too. It's like I'm shrinking. It may take us a couple days to get to you, because California is like this really, really huge state. But in the event that we can't get to you right away, we do have psychics on staff who can call you and talk to you about what may or may not be going on in your house or business. And in most cases, if it is paranormal, they can calm the energy down before we get out there. It gives us a couple extra days because California is a big state, but we will get to you. And I'm always available 24 hours by phone. That being said, if you are watching from Facebook today, and a lot of you are, please be sure to hit that follow button if you haven't done so already. And if you definitely like what you see and hear tonight, please be sure to comment in the chat room and show me some love. Show me some love. Hit me up with some of this and some of these heart things that I can't do with my hand. You know, I can do the Vulcan thing with my hand, but I can never do the heart thing. I don't know. Anyway, hit me with some hearts. Hit me up with happy faces. Just show me some love. Show me some love. That goes for YouTube also. It all works the same. YouTube. You know, the more you do in here in the chat room, the more you put likes out there, the more it puts us up in what they call the FYP, which is the For You pages, which means it sends us out to more people. Plus, over YouTube, if you go over there, there's more than 950 videos. Hello, Carrie. There's more than 950 videos sitting over there, and there's something for everybody. You know, I'm a journalist, photojournalist. I don't always do paranormal. I'm also a Disney content creator. People don't know that about me. I'm a Disney content creator. So I don't always do ghost stuff, okay? So I vary it. Just like tomorrow, our guest, she was a defense attorney for John Wayne Gacy. So she's going to be, so my guest tomorrow is going to be fun. That's part of my journalism. I was a crime courts reporter, was my specialty, and health. So I love going back to my roots. I was also an editor at newspapers and stuff. But anyway, it's my real job. It's in the past. Here we are. And so, yeah, please be sure to take a look at the YouTube page. I have put things under categories so you guys can find stuff better, too, because there's a lot of videos over there. And again, show us some love. Chat amongst yourselves in the chat room, you know, and all that stuff, and happy hearts and all that good stuff. Same thing with Twitch, because we're on Twitch tonight. Thing I wanted to say, okay, Lynn was watching me backstage. And it must have looked kind of funny because I was yelling at my phone. Yelling at my phone and waving my arms and doing all that. That's because I was watching Fantasmic from Walt Disney World tonight. See, like I said, I'm also a Disney content creator. And the reason why is because Disneyland, because I'm in California, Disneyland had this great dragon. The thing would rise up like 25 feet off the stage, and it would spit fire. I mean, it was huge. It lasted almost 20 years till it blew up and burned up last year. And so we don't have that anymore in our park. I'm about to do a review on the new Fantasmic that Disneyland has put out. It's a great show. I don't have a lot of negatives about it. There's just nothing negative about it. It's just that it's just like, you know, we're all so used to people that have gone over the years to the park. We're all so used to this huge dragon that is kind of like a letdown, even though it's a good show, right? But from what I hear and what's been running in the newspapers, like the LA Times, the Imagineers are working on a brand new dragon. And it's going to be about a year before, it could be like a year before we see it. So I'm real excited about that. But I'd like to see what the different dragons look like, you know, in that segment at the parks. Walt Disney World has one. It's not as dramatic as the one at Disneyland. The one that I like is at Tokyo, is at Tokyo Seas in Tokyo. That one comes up. That one you don't get the whole dragon, but the whole like top 12 feet of the dragon comes out of the magic mirror, which is really, really cool. But anyway, that's just me. I was watching that, so if Lynn sees me, you know, this is what Lynn saw. Lynn saw me with my cell phone doing this and going, doing stuff like that. And that's what I was doing. I was yelling at Mickey to get the witch. Okay, let me get Lynn in here before I make it more of a fool of myself. And off we go.
Hi, how are you? I didn't see you scrambling your hands around, but yeah, you probably saw me picking a raisin out of my teeth. So as I was,
I'm sure you saw me because I was yelling at the phone, you know, making care, you know, all this other stuff.
Oh wow, you know, I didn't know that you were doing the Disney thing. Congratulations on that. My
I don't do it all the time, but I do it. I do more of it on TikTok than I do, like on YouTube. But yeah, so it's fun.
My youngest daughter wants to.
You know, if I'd have known, if this had been available 10 years ago, to be able to go to the parks all day long and show the rides and go on the rides on TikTok, I'd have been there.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I hear
you. Now I'm too old. But, I mean, it's like, you have to make that change. But if I'd have known this, you know, all that time ago, I'd have been, toast. I'd have been in Disney. I love it.
No, that's great. I grew up near Disney World, so I totally get what you're saying. My daughter is looking to go to SCAD in Atlanta, and she wants to do some animation for Disney. So I might send her to talk to you when the time comes in a couple of years when she's she's a sophomore in high school now, but, you know, 6 years from now, I may send her over to you to kind of tell her how to go about it. So, but anyway... happy Memorial Day, and I want to say thank you for anybody's service that has been in the service, and whether you're including a firefighter or policeman, thank you so much for your service today. And, you know, we honor and respect you, and I wanted to make mention of that as well to any veterans or any first responders. Nurses, too. Yeah,
you have everybody. Had an interesting life so far. You know, you bought that house, you survived that, the uglies, you know, we'll call it uglies. You survived the uglies in that house. And then that kind of brought out abilities that you didn't know you had. And then you started helping people. But what got me, because we did read all three of your books, you know, the Rainbow one, the, you know, and all that, on live here on Sundays. And what got me was the hospital work you do and seeing the aliens.
Oh yes, and that yes.
Look,
yes,
let's explain to people what you do for a living, and then we'll take it from there, or you can set it up rather, because that really intrigued me.
Okay. I just had my 61st birthday a week ago Friday, so, and I still love my birthdays. So I've been a nurse for 40 years. 17 of that has been in end of life care. Also, being in end-of-life care, you know, people are getting closer to their time to cross over. So I've seen a lot of things. I have the gift of second sight. I've had it ever since I was a child, but for a period of time due to traditional religion, it was dulled, and I was even made to be afraid of it. So it wasn't until I had an experience later in life with a haunted house that I purchased that I was never able to move into, that I was able to connect with people of like mind, which then reopened the fact I didn't feel like such a weirdo, because there were other people that were weirdos too. So I didn't feel so alone. And fortunately, and I was just commenting on this on a show prior to yours, I double booked myself today, but you know, our community of paranormal, you know, everything has been based on scientific. And of course, scientific, if they can't touch it, see it, taste it, it doesn't exist.
Right.
But now we're coming into a realm where there's more of us that have abilities to see things. So it's kind of balancing that, and hopefully eventually we'll even become larger than what the scientific part is. And also, you know, they want to keep everybody in that herd mentality. So, you know, because it would change a lot of things. But so I've had some gifts, and I call it the gift of second sight, where I can see ghosts. Recently had an incident with an elemental. I can see aliens, and I suspect, I don't know what this is, but I actually suspect that I was abducted at one point because of some time loss. And I didn't know until I heard somebody else talking about it that that existed. And I'm like, hey, wait a minute. You know, that kind of happened to me. But I can, you want me to start with that part first?
Oh, go for it.
And then I'll kind of
absolutely.
Go with it.
Okay. Yes, absolutely.
I was in my van and I was leaving my house and I see this very, very long. It looked like a rod. It had a ball shape in the middle and a ball on each end of this straight rod, and then two oval, egg-shaped or oval-shaped ball things in between the perfectly round balls on the end and in the center. So there were five total, and it was just this straight line. And I'm looking at this thing, and there's actually this guy that's riding his bike on the road that actually pulled over. I pulled over. I'm watching this. He pulled over. He's watching it. We're both watching it at the same time. And all of a sudden, it comes close to me. And I'm like, oh, you know, act like you're not looking, because I've heard if you look at it, they might want to take you home with them. You know, so I'm kind of trying to look at it out of my peripheral vision and la, 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 pretending that I'm not seeing it. And this guy's looking directly at it. But then all of a sudden it shot up into the air and went sideways, then very quickly disappeared into the clouds. And when I looked down at my time, because when I had seen it, I wanted to make sure that I noted the time that I saw it, you know, so I looked at, plus right. I was on my way to something that I needed to do. And in the time frame, and I mean, it seemed to have been like 5 minutes that everything all just happened. But I looked down at my clock on my car and I had lost the whole 30 minutes.
Wow.
So I don't remember anything. I don't remember being abducted, but something happened that I lost time and it felt like I never left my vehicle because I had it pulled over. I was sitting there. To me, that took 5 minutes. And the man was still sitting there with his bicycle. So,
interesting.
You know, so I, you know, we're both watching this. So it was really, really odd that 30 minutes of time would just vanish like that. So anyway, as a nurse, originally I got on, I just forgot her name. Linda Moulton Howe's show, because I was asking about hybrids, that is it possible for the aliens to be cohabitating, paralleling along beside us, in meat suits like what we wear, basically, mm-hmm. so that they look like us. And she asked, well, why do you ask? And I said, well, I had a patient. I had, when I would go into work, I worked midnights. So I would work 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. I was a single mom, a soccer mom in the daytime, and I would sleep when my kids were at school. So I had this one patient that was at the very end of the hallway out of 23 rooms that I had, 23 patients that I was responsible for. And she was the only one that would kind of stay up late at night. Everybody else was in bed by 7:30, 8 o'clock. Mm-hmm. And she was a night owl. So around 10:30, she would call for her sleeping pill and her pain meds. And I'd take down her cardiac meds and stuff at that time. And I would take down with me a blood pressure cuff, because I would have to check her blood, her vital signs before giving her her cardiac meds to make sure that she was in the appropriate range to be able to take them, that it wouldn't create any adverse effects. So this one particular night, it was the first night that I ever saw the aliens in her room. And she called, I went down the hallway, I grabbed this brand new, fully charged blood pressure cuff. I went down to her room, and as I'm walking into the room, the only light that there was the light illuminating in from the hallway. And my patient was laying on her side facing the doorway. So she saw me when I walked in, and immediately I kind of stopped, because there's this veil, like misting veil, which was a portal. Uh-huh. And just behind it were these three beings that were all identical in size. They had the same exact uniform thing on. It kind of looked like waiters, like, so not like, well, yeah, I guess kind of like suspenders, but it looked like waders, but yet the long sleeve thing and the waders were all the same color. In the dark, it was hard to tell for sure what the exact color was, but it was a, like, it could be anywhere from a white to a medium gray type outfit. And they were literally standing behind this woman, and it looked like one of those old-time telephone operators that used to have the headphones on, and they'd pull the stick thing out and plug it into a different hole, and they had the party lines back then. Mm-hmm. These beings were doing this to this lady, where they were pulling it out in her head and plugging it into her butt and pulling it out of her foot and plugging it into her head. You know, they were doing all of this work, and simultaneously all three of them were working on her. And I walked in the room and I'm like, whoa, this is new. You know, I've never seen this before. I've got 23 patients. And at first I'm questioning myself a little bit, because I mean, I'm used to seeing ghosts. I'm not used to seeing this. And this was before the episode where I felt that I had been abducted for 30 minutes. So I go to take her blood pressure, and the blood pressure cuff is dead. And I'm like, wow. The battery's totally drained. And I'm like, that's odd. Maybe it wasn't as charged as I thought it was. So I called out into the hallway to a CNA, and I said, would you please bring me a blood pressure cuff? Mine's dead, and put this one on the charger. So they brought me a fresh, brand new one. I go to take her blood pressure again, and it appears to be fully charged. But once I get it on her, it's dead again. And then my cell phone was dead. All of the batteries of everything were draining in the room. And I had to ask for a manual blood pressure cuff to be brought back to the room in order to check her blood pressure. So I did that. I went ahead and I gave her her medication. And there, it was as if they didn't think that I could see them. So they ignored me and just continued working. And so I left the room after giving her her meds, and I'm, you know, kind of made a note of what I saw. But again, you know, it was very, very odd to me. Mm-hmm. Because it wasn't like I felt like it was some kind of an android or something that was being manipulated or remotely worked through something much bigger. So I had this patient on my unit for several years before she passed away. And her room was the only room that had this activity multiple times. And it was only with her, because when she did pass away, someone else was brought to her room to live out their life. And I never saw the beings again with anybody once she had passed away. It was only in her room and only with her. So there was another time that I went down to her room, and it didn't happen every night. I mean, it was sporadic. Uh-huh. So, again, I worked Baylor shift on Saturday and Sunday, so it could have happened more often. It's just that I wasn't there Monday through Friday during the week. So I went down to her room, and this particular time it was odd, because there were five of them, and one of them was taller than the rest, but they all still had that same uniform on. They had it almost looked like a block kind of head thing with a flap in the back, but like they were looking through the fabric. And that's kind of why I thought that they were some kind of android that was being manipulated or being, you know, remotely, something was using them remotely, robotically, to do what they were doing, because I couldn't see any eyes or nose or mouth. It just that sheet thing over their face. And there were four of them that were of the identical size. And then there was one that was about a foot and a half taller than the rest, that kind of stood out. And I'm at the bedside, and I'm manually taking this time her blood pressure. From then on, I just took a manual blood pressure cuff down with me, because I never knew, you know, what I was going to walk into in the room at that time. And this tall one actually came around the bed and walked through me. And it happened so fast that I said, oh, excuse me. You know, just automatically, like when you accidentally bump into somebody, oh, pardon me, excuse me. You know, you don't even think, you just automatically say it. Uh-huh. And the patient said to me, she says, oh, it's okay, honey. She said, no, everything's all right. She thought that I was talking to her. Uh-huh. And the thing was, is when this thing passed through me, it was very quick, but it was the oddest energetic sensation, almost was like a burning, like an acidic burning sensation all through my body, especially in my teeth. Because of me, I don't know why, when I'm around things that are energetic, if I put it in my hand, it goes up my arm and in my mouth, which is kind of weird because I can feel it in my teeth. So I remember, you know, that distinctly as well. And the thing about this lady too is that she was somewhat of an empath anyway, or she had abilities, otherworldly abilities, because there was one night in particular that it had snowed. We were bored. So I was going out the door getting snow, making snowballs. We were having snowball fights in the hallway, actually, of my work. And I'm going down the hallway and I feel this male energy rushing up on my back. And I thought that it was one of the CNAs sneaking up on me to hit me with a snowball. So I stopped and I immediately turned and I said, boom. And there was nothing there. So I thought, okay, well, there's, you know, there's some kind of a spirit. I could still feel it. I could see the waffling to the air. So I turned and I went into her room. And again, she's laying on her side facing the door. And I say to her, you know, she says to me, she says, who's your friend? And I said, what, you know, what friend? She says, the man behind you, he's a very busy fellow, isn't he? And then all of a sudden I felt the energy leave. And she said, oh, and he just went out the door. So she saw the spirit that I felt that came up on me that was following me into the room. She saw it and she saw it leave at the same time that I felt the energy moving away and exiting as well. So she was able to see things. And the thing about the people that in her case, she had the appearance of a wild-eyed rabbit. She had very, very large eyes, almost looked like Graves' disease, but they were very, very large, you know, and round. And also she had never had children. And I started, you know, to check into things, and they indicated that sometimes the hybrids, they don't have, you know, children that way or things like that. And that they do have this exaggerated look to their eyes. And I actually really liked this lady because she had a great sense of humor. But there were other times too, that these things showed up in her room and they were there for her. And I believe based on her appearance and what I saw multiple times, that she was in fact some hybrid alien that was here, placed here. And that was my first experience with one that I could not possibly deny was anything else, because they weren't demons. And she didn't have, like, even as she got closer to her time to cross, which I wasn't there when she did pass, but a couple of days before, it wasn't like angels and loved ones were coming forward. It was still more of these alien looking things that would continue to work on her.
Maybe she was a hybrid.
Yeah, that's my suspicion. I mean, that's what I would guess, because like I said, after she passed away, there was nobody. Even if multiple people had that room after her, and there was not that experience in there, and there was nobody else on either hallway that had, you know, this, at least that, well, I mean, I could see them in her room. So I'm saying in any of the rooms while I was there, they were never there. And of course, people that had her as a patient during the week didn't mention it because they couldn't see them there. So that was my alien experience.
Well, I had a similar experience as you did in your van. Only it was late at night. I used to work on an editor's desk, so I would get off at like 10 or 11 o'clock sometimes, and we were setting out to this movie in a town that was like maybe 6 miles out of Sacramento, and we were on this old highway called Highway 99, a friend of mine and I. And as we're driving, to give a little background, as a kid, my dad always had a hatchback. So I would lay in the back of the hatchback, and I would just watch the sky go by as he was driving. And the bridges, when I was growing up, had, like, ivy on them. Mm-hmm. And then later on, of course, they didn't have that anymore, right? So my friend, I must have been in my mid-30s, early 40s. So my friend and I are driving. We're going to the midnight movies. This is a Saturday night. Sunday is my day off, so we're going to midnight movies. And we're driving along, and all of a sudden, it was like the car, like you watched, like Batman. You know when they switch scenes in Batman, they've got that thing that turns, and then you're in the next scene.
Mm-hmm.
It was like that. Suddenly, everything got blurred, and I started to see the bridges, and they were covered in ivy. And I thought, well, that's weird. So I looked out the windows, and where all the, it looks like L.A. normally out the windows. You know, there's just all the way out there, and houses and everything. I look out the windows, and there's nothing there, just a light here and there. And I thought, that's weird. So I looked at my friend, and I said, are you seeing this? And she said, yeah. Next thing we know, it's an hour later, and we're like 30 miles out of town.
Oh, wow.
Still don't know whatever, you know, what happened. Have no clue. But that is our missing time thing. You know, either we went through a time rift or what, you know, whatever happened. They took us. Who knows? But it happened.
So, and it does. Uh-huh. It does. There are a lot of people that are coming forward talking about, you know, these things of the abductions that they've experienced, and that they come back with odd bruises or triangles or little red dots where perhaps a needle was placed in, or some kind of a laser or something was placed in. And, you know, and I mean, there are even women talking about babies being taken from them, yes, during their pregnancies. So,
yes,
yeah, it's a very real thing. And, you know, even the Pope now is talking about aliens. So, yeah, you know, it's finally there is so much more. I mean, we're all energy, but there is so much more to things that meet the eye. And now that the religions are getting involved in the concept of also the aliens, that this is a big deal. It really is.
The other thing I was going to point out too is when you talked about losing that battery power, you know, on the blood pressure cuff, that happens more often than not. And if you want to be really scared about aliens, you want to read the Mojave Incident. That'll keep you up at night.
Oh, really? Oh, wow.
This couple was camping in the Mojave Desert, and they were in like a pickup camper kind of thing, and they got abducted. And it wasn't so much the abduction itself, that was scary enough, but what happened afterwards, because they kept coming back
see them.
But the interesting part of it is when they would come back, the room would grow cold, batteries would die, and they would come through the walls like ghosts. And that got me wondering, because, you know, like all these EVPs that we pick up out in the field, some of them sound like they're so far away, or they're underwater, or something is blocking them. And it made me start to wonder whether or not, on some of this EVP work that we're getting and some of these things we're investigating, if we're not investigating aliens.
You know, girl, I'm getting that, because you know that I've recently had that elemental incident too, and that was picking up EVP readings, and they look like ghosts, only they're little short ones, they're little tiny ones under 3 feet tall, so they actually look like little children walking around, you know. So there's a lot more going on in the ethers, so to speak, than meets the eye. And I mean, you and I even had this conversation before about how we both have been to what we thought were hauntings of the normal kind, and it turned out to be elementals,
yes,
which is, you know, handled completely different, or maybe not handled at all, because they're not leaving, you are. And, you know, and the traditional means of what we would normally use doesn't work. So, you know, it's a whole new thing. And, you know, people... Yeah, I mean, I'm thankful for people like you that have shows like this to get this information out. And a lot of people that are listening, you guys, this is not the 101 class. This is definitely the advanced class. If you are on this show, you already believe in cryptids and Bigfoot and aliens and dead people walking around. Or this might be a little too much for you, but this is not the 101 class. This is the advanced class.
Absolutely.
So we can freely talk about this kind of stuff. But the thing is there's so much more than meets the eye spiritually. And anybody that says that they're like an expert in this field is not telling the truth, because it's impossible to be an expert. I mean, we're all learning from each other. We're learning new things. And every time you think you've got it down pat, you get thrown a curveball of things like that. And these things don't, well, they make sense to us because we've become accustomed to handling these out of the box situations, so to speak. But, you know, to anybody else, I mean, most people know that there's something more, but they're in denial about it because they're afraid of it. So they have a tendency to put their blinders on and, you know, and go with it. I mean, and everything is energy. Everything is energy. We're energy. The earth is energy. Those things are energy. Whoop, just lost one of my things. But it's very, very, I mean, we've had to find new tactics in order to even, you know, defend ourselves. And right now, since the veils are getting so thin and the vibration is speeding up and kind of leaving some of the bottom feeders behind and we're moving forward. I mean, people are crazy right now. They're driving crazy.
Right.
You go through a drive-through at Burger King and they're like robots. You know, they don't even acknowledge that you're there. They just kind of hand you your, and it's like, is it me? Or is there something really, really weird going on here? Uh-huh. And it is. And, you know, yeah.
Well, that's why, you know, guys, it's so important when people like Linda and I come out to your house to either investigate or do a cleansing. It's so important that you answer our questions honestly. You know, don't withhold information from us. I mean, I had one client that we were working with that I'm not going to give a full description, but I had a real funny feeling going, you know, going out to this thing, and it turns out that she's practicing witchcraft.
Mm-hmm.
And she never told us that. You know, that could be dangerous for us going out because we Absolutely. Don't know what we're facing. If you give, you know, if you're honest and we can kind of figure out what we're looking at, you know, and then come in and investigate it just to cross verify it and then do a cleansing or whatever you want us to do, that's fine. But you, if you lie to us, we could be walking into anything.
That's right. Absolutely. And, you know, some of these situations they create for themselves. And, you know, and I totally agree with you. People don't seem to realize what risks we place ourselves in, especially if it's something demonic. What risks that we take, because sometimes when you're around these negative beings, they can exacerbate health issues within your body that they know they can figure your weaknesses out. You know, if you have a bone spur in your foot, you had all of a sudden it'll start acting up the next day or you'll break out in bumps or you'll, I mean, they know this and they will hit those pockets and exacerbate things that are festering. And also, you know, when we go into your house, we're under constant attack. So we have to keep this force field of auric field. And there's a lot of preparation that goes into before we get there. We have to do a lot of preparation on the other end, for lack of a better word, to get the slime off of us, basically, from going to your house. And then we sleep for 3 days and only get up to go pee and eat.
Yep.
It is an exhaustion that you cannot imagine. It is a chilling tiredness to the bone where you just can't function. So we end up missing work. We end up missing things like that. So it is very important. And also that there are certain things that you need to do before we get there. Number one, you need to clean up your house. If you have got clutter everywhere, the spirits love that clutter. It gives them more places to hide. So they linger in that. So you need to clean up your house. You need to get rid of your porno collection. You need to, you know, if you've got your little, you know, your bong pipe and your other stuff, you know, you need to also, you know, all of these things are draws for these entities. And then you get something in there that's opening and closing your cabinet doors and you're freaking out. You know, but and like Charlotte also said, you know, you need to tell us the truth. You know, you got to tell us because it's for one thing. There are some situations that I won't go into. Because you have to help yourself first. So, you know, before I come in there, it's not going to work. And even with moving, removing attachments from people, the difficulty is with that is that people have had those attachments for so long that they've become accustomed to them, and they have created coping skills around maintaining and codependent, being codependent with that attachment, that they've become comfortable with their codependency of that attachment. So when the attachment is removed and their elevation, their energy level is elevated, instead of hitting the floor running and moving forward, they are more comfortable reaching back into that cesspool of bottom feeders that I just took off of them, you know, because they are more comfortable with the known than moving forward with the unknown. So, and that's another thing too. I mean, if you don't clean up your stuff, your house, your little habits and things like that, it rolls the red carpet for those things to come right back. You know?
The other thing too is not all cleansings are alike. And like I get calls all the time for something in my house, come cleanse it. Well, first place, we don't know what we're dealing with. This could be something Native American. If it's Native American, we don't touch it. It's not going to listen to us. So we have to, you know, we have to get somebody from the tribal councils to come out. So I mean, it's not like, you know, it's not like we're preaching to the preaching to everybody here. This is just the way it is. I mean, that's why you have to be very clear and concise with stuff and allow us to come out and talk to you and interview you and see actually what's going on, so we can make the decision on how we want to approach it.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, and also if it's elemental, I mean, you know, you can, you know, my situation recently with my sister's house, if you want me to share that story, I'll be happy to.
I'm going to ask you, go for it. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, my sister passed away in June and I inherited her house. And for months, for years, she thought that there were spirits in her house. Her financial situation dried up. Her health went down the tube. She thought that people were doing black magic on her, causing her problems that way. And so in her house, she had all kinds of protective things that were up in her house and around her bed, where she was sleeping at night. And so, you know, this was an ongoing thing. She didn't realize that it wasn't a spirit problem that she had in the house. It was something else. So I inherit the house. I go to the house the day that she's passed away. I go to settle in for the night and get ready to manage her things. And all of a sudden I'm sitting in a recliner in the living room, and from the family room, I see a image of my father, who was also crossed, come into the room. And I remember looking at him and I thought, golly, Dad, those are ugly pants. He had these tomato red and white paisley golf pants that were so ugly, with white shoes and a white shirt that he used to wear. And I thought to myself, why on earth would you be wearing that on the other side? You know, nobody liked it, you know, when you were here. Later on, I found a picture in this third bedroom, the third bedroom being significant, in this room with him in that outfit. So there was an entity in the house that was mimicking things that were familiar, such as my father. This thing was also mimicking my sister. She would show up in a white t-shirt, like a cap sleeve t-shirt, but her energy felt off to me. So I didn't like connect with her, even if she was standing right next to me. So anyway, I called my son, and I have a half sister who to me is my full sister. She flew in to help me go through my sister's things. My son was on his way to help me. And my sister slept in my other sister's bed upstairs. And all of a sudden, around 2 o'clock in the morning, I hear her singing Jesus Loves Me. I hear her praying out loud. I mean, this went on for like an hour and a half. So I thought, well, maybe she just has insomnia and she can't sleep. And so I asked her the next morning, I said, you know, did you sleep okay? Because I was sleeping down on the couch. Something about that bedroom creeped me out and I wasn't sleeping in there. So, she said to me, she said that she opened her eyes at one point, something awakened her, and she saw this wreath of faces floating over her bed, and that she just shut her eyes and started praying to make it go away. And it took a long time for it to finally leave. Again, this halo thing is key. So she ends up flying back home to Arizona, and my son is there with me, and we're standing in the hallway. He's standing in the master bedroom doorway. I'm standing in the second bedroom, and all of the bedrooms are upstairs on this upper level. And all of a sudden, we see this little thing under 3 feet tall walk past me, walk past him, and walk into the master bedroom. And my son says, "Did you just see Hogwarts pass by?" And this thing looked just like the banker on Harry Potter, that blocky head, short ears, pointed going back, the big nose, only this one's nose was elongated almost over its mouth. And then it comes back out of the master bedroom, crosses in front of him, crosses in front of me, goes back to the third bedroom, and then comes back out again, crossing me and going back in front of my son to the master bedroom. And we're watching this. Mm-hmm. However, on the third time through, there was a misting in the hallway in front of the third bedroom, and in that was a wreath of faces that my sister had stated seeing nights before in her bed. So in other words, this being, this little tiny being, was standing next to the bed where she couldn't see it, and was had his spirits with him that were kind of hovering over the top of her. So again, me not knowing what it was, we assumed that it was spirits. And so my son and I, the next night we go through, I use a fire component. When I go in, I crack the door, give them permission to leave. If they don't want to leave, the oxygen sucks into the fire and the spirit sucks into the pan and it gets stuck in the bottom. So I use a fire component. So they're leaving, period. And so I went all through the house and I picked up some negative things. And there were a couple of wandering souls that were just kind of passing through in the house. And I picked up those and I thought I was done. Uh-huh. And lo and behold, there's that thing again. And it is not leaving. Uh-huh. So it actually was standing in the stairs and had its face between the balusters looking through. And he was calling me. He would say, "Fuck you, fuck you, fuck you." And he would call me a fucking bitch. So, and those were his favorite words, the F-bombs. I don't know if I'm allowed to say that on this show.
I don't know. We'll find out for later from YouTube.
Go ahead. Sorry. I'll use F-bombs. I apologize. You can edit that part. But he was using F-bombs constantly and obscenities. So I reached out to three of my friends, one in Florida, one in South Carolina, and one in Canada, that all do remote viewing. And they were looking into the house. He said, "Listen, there's something here that is challenging me. It's basically standing there. Is that the best you got?" I said, "I've tried everything from holy water and salt. I've tried the fire component. I've tried dragon's blood. I've tried sage. I've got moon water. I've got everything. You know, I'm trying everything. And this thing is not budging in it." And it was had a very negative pull to it because at the time it was extremely angry. Uh-huh. And they told me the layout of the house. All three of them told me the layout of the house, how it was coming into the house, and that it was going up to the third bedroom, and that there was something in that third bedroom that belonged to it. And I'm like, oh no, I knew exactly what it was. I had been in that room the night after my sister had passed away, when I noticed the picture of my dad in the ugly pants, that was the exact same. This thing was mimicking, because they can shift change. It was mimicking my father. Uh-huh. And I, you know, there was this rock in the room. And I mean, the rock was as big as my hand. It was a big rock, ugly. I mean, it wasn't even a pretty rock. It was a really, really odd shape. It almost looked like a moon rock or something. And it didn't have any shine or any glitter or anything to it. It was just very dull and it was ugly. But I remember picking it up at one point, excuse me. And when I picked it up, the energy from it almost burnt me. And I felt it shoot up my arm into my mouth. Sorry. Uh-huh. Let me get something here.
Sure.
So I immediately put it down because I was going to throw it away. So thank God I didn't throw it away. So they're telling me, I'm like, I bet that's it. I bet that he's after the rock because there's something energetically connected there. So the next day I had my son take the rock outside. We placed it in an area that one of the people told us that we needed to do with it, that they saw the shed in the back of the house and to take it and put it in this area. So as my son's walking out the door, That thing is flinging vines at my son's legs. They were wrapping around my son's legs. And my son's like, man, my legs are so itchy all of a sudden. I'm like, well, no wonder that thing is flinging vines at you, trying to stop you from taking the rock outside. And of course, when he exited, I'm like crossing people over. I'm like, daddy's not home. It's time to go. You know, so I'm opening the door and crossing people over, and most of them left, but there were still a few that lingered. So we were then told that it was some kind of like a Bogart, which Bogarts normally come from England and the European countries, but that it was coming through a portal in the backyard, of which I have since found. And that it was taking care of all of the land where the houses were all up and down that street. So it wasn't just the property that my sister's house was on. So, and he was upset because she had, as a matter of fact, he helped create her demise. He exacerbated her illness. She got sick. And of course, then the hospital was negligent, and she left this earth a little earlier than she was supposed to. I know she would have passed by September, but she, you know, she still had a couple of months. So, and he admitted to that after the fact, because she stole his rock. To him, it was like abducting his child. And when we returned the rock out in the shed area, we had to tell him, listen, we're returning your rock, but I have to do work in the house and sleep there, and I don't want you in there. You need to stay outside. And if you do, we will bring you a treat daily. And when we go to leave, we will bring you several things, you know, some rum, some tobacco, some beignets type thing. So it stayed out of the house. And I just want to say this to people. I know this sounds crazy, but we had more than us. We had a group of paranormal people come up that also saw it. I mean, multiple people have seen it, because the thing about elementals versus ghosts is that ghosts linger and hide for a little bit and watch you. But elementals, they will meet you at the gate. They got balls. So they just, you know, they are right there. They present right away because they're very curious about you, and they want you to know that they're there guarding their space. So what had happened was, is then, so we told him that we were staying through that Monday, that we were going to be leaving on Monday. And it just so happened that Monday morning, as we were getting ready to pack up and leave, that I noticed that there was a leak in the bathroom sink underneath, dripping. And I'm like, oh no, you know, we're going to be gone for 2 months. That leak will come through the ceiling by the time we get back. So I had to get a plumber to come out and fix it. And of course they couldn't come until later in the day. And so my son and I left to go to a restaurant to go out and eat a late lunch, early dinner. And when we came back, because we hadn't advised him that we were staying that additional day, he thought that we were leaving. So us leaving meant that he could come back in the house, because that was the deal. So we hear him grumbling. It sounded like the Tasmanian devil under his breath coming from the back of the house forward. And my son and I both heard it. And I said to my son, I said, oh, you know, we forgot to tell whatever his name is, which now we call him Bob, because his name is so weird, you can't pronounce it anyway. Kind of like a Rumpelstiltskin kind of thing. So he's he's okay with Bob. So that's what we call him. And so we then had to tell him, look, we have to stay one more day. There's a leak in the sink. You need to go back outside. We brought him beignets. We took the beignets out there for him, and that we're still going to leave you these things when we leave tomorrow. So we still hadn't built up that rapport or trust with him yet. He was still eyeballing us, and we still didn't know for sure what to do with him. So that evening, my son was loading up my sister's truck with items that I needed to haul back to South Carolina. And all of a sudden, I hear F-bomb, F-bomb, F-bomb. And I'm thinking that my son has injured himself. So I run to the front door to see what happened, if he pinched his finger or something fell on his foot. And when I opened the door, his face was right there. And I said, what happened? You know, are you okay? And he's like, what? I said, well, you were, you know, dropping F-bombs and obscenities. And he said, well, that wasn't me. And I said, well, didn't you hear that? And he said, no. So he came into the house the next day. He goes out, he starts his car because his battery was a little bit weak. He wanted to let it run before leaving. He turned on the truck and was getting the phone charger plugged in for me because I didn't know where the thing was. And I'm out on the front porch, and again, I hear F-bomb, F-bomb, F-bomb. And I thought, and again, I thought it was my son, because we're out in the middle of nowhere. There's cows behind us, cows across the street, and it is a 2-acre lot, and everybody else had 2-acre lots. So there was nobody close by, you know, close enough by that you would even be able to hear that if they were saying it. So I went to my son in the truck and I said, is everything okay? And he said, yeah, why? And I said, because I heard you again dropping obscenities. And he said, that wasn't me. And then we both heard the thing stating F-bomb, F-bomb, F-bomb. And it just so happened that he was standing, the Bogart was standing in the doorway of the shed. And he was calling out because he wanted to make sure that we weren't leaving without leaving him what we promised that we would leave him with. So we ended up going and giving him what we did. And the thing that, you know, it has actually turned out to be something very, very pleasant and lovely. He is actually, the house is now enchanted with some of the beautiful things that he does with the yard at night and the energetic triangles that he creates. That it looks like a patchwork quilt only with triangles. But it's because we've built that rapport. And the thing is he has started to tell us a lot of stories. Like, for instance, the story about the rock. He did admit to pushing my sister a little bit over the edge, and he was tearful about it. He says, but she took my rock. It turns out that he loves stories. And the rock held information of ancient times and stories, and it would tell him the stories. It also held the music that he appreciated, and it was a special rock from some place that he came from. So it was very, very special to him. So people, you just never know when you're picking up that rock, it might belong to somebody. So, you know, yeah, have respect. But the thing is so he's now starting to tell us different things, you know, and the reasons why he's doing it, some stories about, you know, I'm sorry, something just flagged me, telling stories about who he is. He told us the story about how he is a Rockin, and that his father was one, but his, which the Rockins are of the earth. They are guardians over the crystals and the rocks, which you, if you think about it, is very important because they are the base for everything, including the ocean is on top of, you know, the base. So it is the base for everything. And he made mention that his mother was of the trees and the grass and the things that grow on top of the land, and that normally the two don't mix, but his parents got together, and that he has seven brothers, and that they're all Rockins. They all look like the dad. So we're now starting to get information from this, and people are actually channeling him through and validating him. And he is so thrilled that he's like, I've never gotten to talk to humans before. And the thing that is they do believe in creation. They don't reincarnate. They were created at the time that the earth was created, and they live a very, very long time. But when they do pass, they don't return. And they do look like ghosts wandering around. But he is pleasant, and he believes in source, that they come from a source. Like we believe that we come from a source, we call it God, or, you know, wherever that we've come from, and that he wanted to make it very, very clear that our bodies were created by the earth, that when the earth was created, all of us were created at the same time, which makes sense because when you are born, the soul enters into the body, but when you pass, the soul leaves and you leave the skin and the body behind. And they talk about ashes and things like that. So we're learning a lot of things. And I've been asked to write a book, which I'm going to be putting a fourth book, which I'm working on now, into the Omnipresent series called Omnipresent Gnome, Place Like Home. And this is a story about Bob. And then I'll be doing two more books off of that one about elementals and fae and kind of gapping that bridge. For them, so that they can reconnect with people. Now there are white fae and there are dark fae, just like, you know, there are good people and bad people. It's the same kind of thing, but it's really, really shocking how similar we are that way, and how traditional religion has demonized anything, demonized them, demonized anything that is non-human. And these things are all created by the same creator. So, you know, it just, it's turned out to be something very lovely. And if ever you want to come out to Louisiana, you're more than welcome to stay.
I will. I'm going to be on the road. Someday I'm going to have me an RV and I'm going. I'm touring.
You come see me. You're more than welcome to park it at the house and stay, because some of the things that he does, I mean, the art has become enchanted. It's beautiful. Some of the animal spirits and the energy that, I mean, there are bear spirits and deer spirits and foxes and all buffalo. I mean, just beautiful, beautiful entities that he brings with him. Oh, and that's another thing. About the spirits, I call them his balloons. I made the mistake of thinking that they were something that he was kidnapping and holding for his entertainment. And it turns out that it's very much the opposite. He was collecting these souls because these souls at the time of their passing, they were either extremely depressed or extremely sick, that they weren't able to elevate their level of energy in order to be able to even cross over, or maybe they didn't feel worthy to cross over. And his concern was is that something darker would take control of them. So he collected them to keep them safe from anything else more negative getting them. And he's very, very happy to cross them over now. So, you know, he doesn't want to keep them. He's glad to get rid of that burden, actually. But it was a very thoughtful act on his part, not what I assumed in the beginning. So, like I said, we're all learning.
But when you talk about the light and dark fairy folk, you know, it's my understanding that they're mischievous anyway. So, I mean, where is that line drawn? What are we talking about as far as dark? What do the dark do as opposed to the light? Because, the light are mischievous.
That's true. And, you know, some of that stuff that I am still learning about with Bob, per se, I mean, he is pleasant as long as we are. But, of course, as humans, we all have that side, and they also have that side. And I think that it's more of the fairy realm that's a little bit more mischievous than the Rockins. They're just kind of happy-go-lucky, actually. That way. So they all have their own kind of personality. And then you've got the water sprites and things like that, that also have their own personality, but they all work with the earth, and they're all very, very upset with the way that the earth has been treated by humans. So, you know, they would like very much to connect in with humans again, which is why I'm writing the books, but I'm learning. I mean, if you've got questions, I'll be happy to ask them and see what the answer is. So now at least we have something we can ask.
Yeah, it always fascinates me. You know, I've been in contact. I had a couple investigations over the years where we have been in contact with them. I've actually heard them talking, you know, in one. And we actually were involved with the Tommyknocker case a few years back, you know, up in the mines up here. And it's different, you know. Because they're mischievous. He wants food. We're giving him food. You know, sometimes you try to explain this to your clients and they look at you like you're nuts.
Of course. Yeah, of course. Of course they do. But, you know, who doesn't look at us like we're nuts anyway? Like I said, it's fortunate, you know, it comes in layers, because now the paranormal community is becoming more acceptable. You know, even the Pope is talking about it. So, you know, and it's like, eventually, I mean, it's now like 45, 55, but we're starting to blanket out where there's going to end up being even more of us. And you can't, I mean, and the thing is too, once you see a ghost, once you see an elemental, once you see Bigfoot or cryptid, you cannot unsee it. You know, a lot of people rationalize because of the fear factor, because they've been taught to be afraid. So they will try to rationalize it that way. But, you know, and speaking of that, too, there are a lot of things right now on the plane, on our dimension, that are mimicking things as well. I mean, my son, about a month ago, he was sound asleep. And my mother, who has crossed over, is around him a lot. He feels her, but it's in a good way. I mean, she has crossed over and she just kind of watches over him, kind of like a guardian kind of thing. And he was sleeping, and it was like 2-3 o'clock in the morning, and she was at his bedside and woke him up. And he's like, Grandma, what are you doing? I got to go to work in the morning. I have to be up at 5 o'clock in the morning. Why are you waking me up? Come back later. Uh-huh. And when she turned, she had this reptilian tail. So there are these, yeah, so there are these entities that are on the earth right now that are mimicking people that we're familiar with so that it's more acceptable that we will allow them or invite them to stay, because there is an invitation element to some of these. They'll show up as a child. So you'll be like, oh, well, it's just not. So, and again, those things don't respond to the normal coming in with psalms and clearing the houses out the way that we would with a ghost. They work with ghosts, but they don't work with elementals, and they don't work with these new things that are showing up that I believe are some form of alien entity that are mimicking to stay here. But what I have learned to do that is effective with anything dark, I promise you that this will work. They will shrivel up like a booger and they won't be able to get out of the room fast enough. And everyone has the power to do it. excuse me. Whenever I talk about this, they don't like me talking about it. Any kind of love dissolves the darkness. And these darker things, these darker entities that are approaching, they love is like repellent for them. So you sit and you focus on your heart chakra, and you envision pink light like sonar rings coming out of your heart, aiming at the spirit, aiming at the room, letting it fill the room. If it is something dark, it will flee that room because they can't be around it. It's like a bad stench in the room. If it is a loving, say the spirit of your mother, which is something positive, if it is a white elemental, anything positive will relish in the love. And that's how you can determine if you're approached by a family member that is in spirit form and you assume that it is, to determine whether it is something that is mimicking them or really them. Because if you start sending them that love, the real one will stay. The other one, if it's an imposter, it will immediately leave. And usually they'll go echoing and laughing away. A lot of times too, which, that you got them, you know, type thing. So just keep that in mind. And also put salt in your shoes.
Very interesting. Question in the chat room is, do the dark fairies have anything to do with the missing 411 people?
I'm just learning about these, but you know, the fae get blamed for a lot of things that they're not really responsible for. A lot of it is alien abduction. A lot of it is people abduction. A lot of it is the government. I mean, pick one. I mean, in this day and age, you just don't know, because there are other things like these reptilian things that are showing up, or like the things that were showing up in my patient's room. There's so much more to it than what even meets the eye that we don't even fully know about. I'm not sure about that, but, it could be, I don't know.
Well, I've talked with, people over in Scotland, in Ireland and places like that. And there is a, tiny group of fae that will take children.
Wow.
And there's been stories out there where the kids are able to somehow get out, and they come back and tell their parents about being underground. And seeing all the fae down there. So it's interesting. So that's a possibility.
Wow. Yeah, it is.
The other thing I was going to add to this, when you talk about the grandmother story, that's interesting, because I had a gentleman on the show who had written a book about his lifetime abductions. And he's not the first one that told me this, but he said that when he got aboard the ship, that he saw his deceased aunts and grandmother. And he said it turns out that they were holograms, that they're using these holograms so that they don't scare us. And I've heard a lot of women say this, where they will be holograms of really good looking guys.
Woohoo! Sam Elliott, they can make Tom Selleck for me.
For the hybrid program.
Yeah, well, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Well, and again, you know, and that makes sense because of the reason being they have to present themselves in such a way that you won't be afraid of it, but also that you would be endearing or you would be welcoming and inviting them in. Because again, I don't know what the component is about the needing to be invited. It's like the dark-eyed children, never let them in your house. Yep. You know, it's that component. It's like once you invite them in, you have an agreement that it's okay for them to be in your realm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know how that works. Again, I'm learning.
That goes back to the old vampire stories too, because you had to invite them in your house in order for them to be able to get in and feed off you.
Yeah, that's true.
It all seeps back in the legend. So what's next for you? You're working on this book.
I am. I did that segment on Beyond Belief with George Norrie. It is now out. I will be sending you the link. There was a problem with the last link. So the link that they've now given me, I'm going to be working on sending out tomorrow.
Cool.
I will send you one. Please post it. But absolutely. It gives you 7 days free of Gaia. So if you go in under the link that I sent you, you can watch Gaia for free for 7 days. Mm-hmm. And you can watch anything you want on there, mm-hmm. not just my thing, but you can see my thing too. Please give me a thumbs up, make a positive comment. I appreciate it.
Absolutely.
And pass it around because everybody can use that link to do the same thing. So I want it shared out because the more views that I get, the better it is, and that they'll plan to have me back, which they've mentioned that they will. But it's been a little bit of a slow start because it just came out last week. It's been a little bit of a slow start because I there was a link or something missing with the link that people were clicking on it, and they would have to go directly to the part where they would pay for it. And they meant to give me the part where they would have the 7-day trial for free. But that's one thing that I'm doing. I just finished my death doula class. I'm getting ready to take a class called the MACE, which is the memory recall kind of thing where I can go in and energetically remove stamps. And I'm going to be using guinea pigs. I think, didn't you volunteer to be one of those people?
I did, yes.
That's okay. So I should be starting the class I was going to start it this past month, but I think with the summer here, I'm going to wait until I have more time, like around July, to start the class. And from there, it'll be 4 months to completion. And then I will need to have people to clinically work with on video so that the practitioners can watch me do it to make sure that I'm doing it correctly. Mm-hmm. So, and to friends, it's extended for free. And anytime you need a touch up, just reach out and I'll be happy to do that too, because, you know, you go through life and stuff happens. And mm-hmm. especially with as crazy as things are getting now with people, people aren't acting right. You know, it's just, yeah, something's off. So.
I agree. How can people find you?
I have a website, www.lynnmonet.com. I can be reached there. There's a way to get a hold of me through email if you're having any problems, or if you have, you know, somebody with addiction or schizophrenia, or you need me, you know, to attachment removal, or like Charlotte also, if you think you've got a haunting in your house or whatever, I can try to get you on the right path with that. Or come to your house if you live close enough to me. I do not charge for that. People are not supposed to charge for that. However, if they do come from a distance, and I think that reimbursing them for their gas money and any personal expense that they put out on your behalf, that it's okay for them to ask to have that repaid. And if you want to make a donation, that's up to you. After they're done clearing it, if you're happy with their work and you want to choose to make a donation, I'm sure that it would be very appreciated because there's so much more to clearing houses than anybody would imagine. You know, as Charlotte and I were talking about some of the things in the beginning. But I have multiple books out on Amazon. You can also order them through Barnes & Noble and Walmart. You can also get the books off of my website. If you get them off of my website, I sign them and personalize them for you and ship them out. And they cost about the same, maybe even a little bit cheaper on my site. So, you can get me there. And I'm on Journey Through the Gate every Sunday, the last Sunday of every month, with Cisco. It's a Journey Through the Gate paranormal podcast. I'm on Aquarius Rising Africa, the fourth week of every month, I believe, or every 4 weeks. I'm on there as a continuous guest. And I pop on with Charlotte whenever she needs me. So you'll see me here in the future, I'm sure, as well. And also we have many, many times that I've been on that in the past. And I'm going to be planning to be on Coast to Coast coming up again as well, probably a little bit closer to Halloween time when my 111 Becadon book is out. Also, I'm looking for people to help with editing and that sort of thing. And if you want to book me for a show, please reach out as well, because I am booking right now for shows. I don't have a podcast of my own. I've kind of taken a little bit of a reprieve from that because of my sister passing. And then I've had so many personal things come up, and I may be ending having a surgery, a bone spur removed off of my other foot. And so I've got some things coming up that I didn't want to commit to that on a weekly basis, because I may not be able to, you know, to do that that way. And I'm looking for a producer. So, you know, somebody to kind of help me with that too. But that's where you can find me, and that's what I'm doing. And I've got 4 or 5 books out, something like that.
Well, you know what? It's always so fun to have you on, and thank you for coming on again.
Oh, well, thank you so much for having me. I was looking forward to this. It's always a pleasure. Also, now that the room is full, I want to make mention. Am I taking over anybody else's time? Do you have like a show after this? Okay. Okay. Anybody that is in the room right now during this show, if you donate $25 or more to Charlotte's PayPal account, I will send you an ebook of your choice for free. And what you will do is you will, Charlotte, once the donation is made, and has to be people in the room, once the donation is made, Charlotte will notify me. She will notify me of who you are and how to get in touch with you. I will contact you, find out which ebook, it's not paperback, it'll be an ebook that you would like to have. And then I will send it to you, copying Charlotte in on the submission of it, so that she is aware that I not only did you receive it, but she also can verify that you received it as well. Excuse me, and that there was no problem with it. So again, you know, that's Omnipresent, my first book, which was about a house that I purchased that I was never able to move into. It was haunted that bad. The second book, Omnipresent, What Happened Next, goes into what happened next. It also talks about addiction and mental illness, schizophrenia, and how that's related to attachments. The third book is Colors of Heaven, which is a beautiful story about, as there is a dark side to paranormal, there's a light side to paranormal, white side. This is the light side of a book about death and dying that puts a different twist and perspective on it. It's a very beautiful collection of events that have occurred, that I've experienced as an end-of-life care nurse. With people, I've seen people come out. I've seen hundreds of people die. I've seen them come out of their bodies. And I've been in the room when they've been in that rallying stage, that they come back and even talk about children that haven't been born yet and beautiful things. So I wrote the book hoping to take the stigma of death and dying away. In addition to that, the 111 Becadon Drive could be coming out soon. And I don't mind giving that one out in ebook. You'll be one of the first ones to get it if it's available, you know, coming here and within the month. I also have the book, The Gap, which is nothing paranormal. It's just common sense. It's a book for adolescents and teens that kind of describes that gap between the birds and the bees and human trafficking and, you know, making good decisions. And I love to say this part, not wearing stinky sneakers on your first date, because there's nothing attractive about smelly feet, no matter how gorgeous or handsome you are. Especially in a car with windows up, it's gross. So make sure that you don't wear stinky sneakers. You know, and it talks about how to clean a refrigerator out, and it's just good stuff, that are common sense and things that are necessary for making good choices in this day and age. So yeah, let me know.
Fantastic. All right, guys. Thank you so much again, Lynn. Always appreciate it. We'll get you back on. It's always fun.
Yes, it is. Thank you, my friend. so much for having me. Okay, I send love and light to everybody. And don't forget to put salt. Well, that'll be another show, putting salt
that's
in your shoes.
Show. Yeah,
yeah, okay. All righty. Thank you so much for having me. You too.
Okay, bye-bye. And for those of you interested in what she said, my PayPal is paypal.com. Let me make sure I know what it is. Even I have to watch it flash up on the screen. Here we go. All right. Yeah, it's paypal.me/CaliforniaHaunts. Real simple, all lowercase. Okay. So even I have to let it flash on. Okay, tomorrow night we are shifting gears. I am putting my journalism cap on. And we are going to be talking with Karen Conte. Karen Conte was an attorney who got involved with defending serial killer John Wayne Gacy. So she's got a great story to tell. So she's going to be joining us tomorrow, 6:30 p.m. Pacific. Thank you all for coming tonight. I really appreciate it. I know it's the end of a three-day weekend for some of you. And so we'll be starting this week, and we're going to have some interesting guests on all week long. So I will see you guys tomorrow, 6:30 p.m. Pacific. I want you all to have a great rest of your evening, and bye.